We consider together the thought of an exhortation to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Tonight, we want to open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. And really, we're going to begin in verse 10. And we want to consider together not an exhortation to be a good soldier, but tonight we want to consider the thought of being ready and able to stand as a soldier of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to begin again in verse 10. Follow along as I read down through verse 18, then we'll pause and ask the Lord for His blessing upon our time tonight. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints." Let's pray together, please. Father, we thank you for the time that we have together. We thank you that again we can come tonight and open up your word and consider the truth that we find in it. Lord, we recognize that we live in a battlefield. We go through each day involved in spiritual conflict. Father, we have been called to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, to follow Christ our captain, to fight under His banner. But Father, we're also called to stand against all the wiles of the devil, and having done all, to remain standing. And I pray tonight that we as your people would be ready and able to stand. So Father, we thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We know that it is a fatal mistake that is made by many Christians to think that it is possible to live the Christian life in your own strength and in your own power. Yet there are still many who try to fight the battle, who try to warfare against Satan and his forces, against the flesh and this world, simply by their own strength and by their own power. Robert Cook, in the book Now That I Believe, said, "You cannot produce, nor can you maintain the Christian life. God must do it, or it simply isn't done." There is nothing that you can do to produce salvation. There is nothing that you can do to keep your salvation. There is nothing that you can do to strengthen yourself and to fight in your own power. God is the one that must do it. And He has promised to do a work in us. We consider this morning this fact that God has promised to do a work that He began at the moment of our salvation. He'll continue to work in us. He'll continue to strengthen us, to aid us, and to help us until we see Christ. He has given us all that we need for life and godliness. And folks, that is true when we consider our spiritual warfare. There are many yet, though, today who promote that the Christian life is a life of ease. It is a life of pleasure. They proclaim through their social gospel that if we give our lives to God, that God will bless us with great physical blessing. There won't be issues, there won't be problems, there won't be troubles. If you're having troubles and trials within your life, it's because your life isn't fully surrendered to God or given unto Him. God will bless you if your life is committed to Him, and you'll receive physical blessing. There's a problem with that philosophy. According to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, God has promised us blessings. But His blessings are spiritual in nature. For the Bible tells us that He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. God never promised us that we would have a life of just physical blessing. The blessings that He has promised to His people are spiritual. We, though, are now engaged in a spiritual warfare. You and I live out our lives in a battlefield. And you and I can never forget that thought. You and I live every day surrounded by, in the midst of, encompassed by this battle that is raging over your life and mine. Yes, you live in a physical realm, but there is a spiritual realm. And in that realm, there is a battle for you and for me. We better be aware of that. We referenced this morning the life of Job. Job is one of those places in our Bible where God, as I like to say it this way, pulls back the curtain. And He pulls back the curtain from the spiritual realm. Usually you and I cannot see or know what's going on there. But God in Job 1 kind of pulls back the curtain and He lets us see that behind the scenes of the physical life and all the events that are taking place, there is a spiritual battle happening. You find that again in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel is coming now with an answer to prayer, and as he receives that answer from one of the angel says unto him, "Listen, I want you to know, you've been praying for 21 days for God to give you the answer, and I left on the first day, and yet for 21 days I've been involved in a spiritual battle over this answer." Sometimes you wonder, why doesn't God answer my prayer? Maybe it's because we're in the midst of a spiritual battle. Folks, we live in a battlefield. And you and I are in the midst of this warfare that's all around us. But never forget, God has promised to provide us all that we need to come out on the victor side. He's already given you and I the victory. We're living life in this battlefield, but we're on the winning side. As we come to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul gives to us what I'm going to call the Christian's call to arms. Look at what he says. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Paul calls every one of the believers to enter into this battlefield and stand for the Lord. As you look at verses 10, 11, 12, and 13, it is clear that we are called to stand in the midst of this battle that is raging, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. God wants you and I to stand and stand firm. We are being given a call to arms. I want you to note with me, first of all, the exhortation to be strong. Paul again says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, powers, against rulers of the darkness of the world, spiritual wickedness in high places. "Wherefore then, take unto you the whole armor of God." Why? "That you be able to withstand, and having done all, stand." There's an exhortation for you and I to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Why? God calls you and I to be strong so we can withstand. There is a battle. You're in the midst of it. And in the midst of the battle, to be able to withstand all the attacks of Satan, God said, "Be strong in the power of His might." Like Joshua, you and I are going to face enemies. And we're encouraged now to be strong and of a good courage. Next, I want you to see with me the explanation of our spiritual strength. God tells us to be strong. To be strong. That's an interesting term in the way that it's written. The words there, be strong, are written in the present passive imperative. You say, that doesn't mean anything to me. Let me explain what it means that this statement, be strong, is in the present passive imperative. As an imperative, it's a command. God is commanding His children to be strong. As it's written in the present tense, it means that it is to be continually carried out. On a day-by-day basis, on an hour-by-hour and moment-by-moment, you and I are commanded by God to be strong. That's what His desire is. Day after day, moment by moment, we are called in the midst of this life on a battlefield to be strong. Because it's in the passive mood, what that simply means is that the strength that we are to be strong in is not our own. Because it's in the passive mood, it means that we are to be continually receiving the strength that comes from God. See, what God is not telling you to do in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 is to flex your muscles spiritually. God is not saying exert your power or your strength that you have within. He is telling you day by day and moment by moment and hour by hour and every attack that comes, receive continually God's strength for the battle. So Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Our power to live for Christ and fight the spiritual battle is the Lord's. Isn't that a blessed truth to understand that you're not asked to fight by your strength and your power? We're talking in the morning service about being in God's waiting room, those trials and tests that come. Aren't you glad you don't have to go through those in your strength? When temptation comes, you don't have to fight that in your spiritual strength or your spiritual reserve. Because, folks, here's what we know. God is all-powerful, and Satan is no rival to our God. But I'm no match for him. And him, I mean there is Satan. Because he's stronger and wiser than I am. He knows our weaknesses. He knows where to tempt us. And folks, he has three basic means of temptation, does he not? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And he hasn't really changed them all. And we already know all the tactics that he has, and we still fall because he's really good at his job. But see, I don't have to fight Satan and his temptations in my strength. I have to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. See, I'm commanded to receive the daily strength that I need. Paul realized that he could not fight the battle in his own strength. Three times he asked the Lord, please remove the sword of the flesh. I can't handle it anymore. And God says, I know you can't. I'm glad you finally figured that out. My grace is sufficient for you. Paul then said in Revelation, most gladly will I suffer. So that when I'm weak, he is made strong. See, you and I are given the exhortation to be strong in the Lord. And by the way, what a wonderful truth it is to know that the Holy Spirit who lives within us is referred to as greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Be strong in the Lord. Let's take a moment to explore some other scriptures, though, on this topic. Psalm 144, verse 1 says, blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. What a blessing it is to know that it is God who teaches us how to fight. It is is God who will give us the strength that we need to do battle on a spiritual realm. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I like Isaiah 40 verse 41 verse 10. There we're told not to be afraid. God will strengthen us and He will help us. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I think in Deuteronomy it tells me this wonderful truth that underneath are the everlasting arms of God. See, folks, I don't have to bear up on my own. I don't have to pull myself up. There is one who strengthens me. There is one who helps me. There is one who is there to guide me through and strengthen me day by day and moment by moment. His grace is sufficient for me. His name is Jesus. And He wants to help us in the midst of a spiritual battle. So we're told, be strong. There's a call to arms. Next, I want you to see the Christian's call to appropriation. The Christian's call to appropriation. Look at verse 11. "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Paul calls every Christian now to appropriate that which has been given to him to help them in the battle. We're told to put on the armor of God so that we can stand. So let's talk about that thought, because here's what Paul tells us to do. Number one, he says, put on. We are to put on the armor of God. God has given to every believer His armor so that he might be able to stand strong in the midst of his battle. God says, let us put on His armor. He has provided us the protection that we need. And so Paul says, appropriate that. Put it on. The armor of God. Every soldier needs the equipment to successfully engage in battle. For a soldier to go into battle without the necessary equipment is foolish and hurtful. You and I live in a battlefield. We don't live in a field of lilies. When you wake up in the morning and you get dressed physically, you need to also remember to dress spiritually, because the moment that you hit your feet hit the floor, you are in a battlefield. By the way, there is no truce in this battle. There are no special days of observation where we come aside from battle and we stop to give everyone a break. There is no time where we pause. There is no vacation from the spiritual battle. It is day after day and moment by moment. And Paul says, put on the armor. God's provided it. Put it on. But here's what else he tells us to do. By the way, let me just say this. God's armor is of no value unless it's appropriated. Unless you put it on. But not only are we to put on the armor, here's what Paul says. Stay put. Notice what it says. Put on the armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Here's the key to our Christian warfare. God has provided us all that we need so that we can stand. And if we're going to be faithful in the Christian life, then we have to learn to stand. Stay put. We don't need to flee. Stand. Not run from the enemy, not run from the battle, but stand. He has given you all that you need to fight. He has told you, receive from me the strength. Put on my armor and stand. There are many today, because the battle was raging around them, they flee, they run, they quit. Folks, we don't need to run. because we're the victors. We are more than conquerors, and the gates of hell cannot prevent us from moving forward. So why do we flee? Why do we run? Why are we on the defensive? God has provided us with everything that we need. You have the armor of God, so stand. You're in a battle. Stand for the Lord. There's a call to appropriation. Next, there's a call to apprehension. Verse 12 clearly defines for us the battle that we're in and who we are fighting against. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's pretty clear what our battle is all about. But you and I have to learn to comprehend and apprehend these truths for ourselves. What are they? Number one, our battle is spiritual. It's not physical. I know, folks, that as we're going through the physical life, we tend to think of everything as physical. But it's not. Job's battle was not a physical one. Job's battle was spiritual. Your battle, although it might be felt in the physical realm, it's not a physical battle. It is a spiritual battle. Sometimes folks will ask questions like this: why would God allow me to go through this trial? And sometimes I shock them with my answer. I said, sometimes God allows you to go through that trial, as hard as it is, because He knows you can handle it.
Right.
What? God allows you to go through that trial because He knows you can handle it for His glory. And can I remind you, life is not about you, your circumstances, and what's going on. It's about the glory of God. You're in the midst of a spiritual battle. Why do I have to fight this battle? Because God says you're the one that's going to bring glory to me for it. Think about David for a moment. There is one Goliath who stands and blasphemes the name of God. The whole army of Israel was saying, not me! Not me! David's called into the king and he says, you're going to go fight for me. Because I heard your speech. Here's my armor. You can wear all that. David said, it doesn't fit. I wonder if in David's mind he's wondering, why didn't he wear the armor? Why didn't he go? Why me? I'm just a shepherd boy. God says, take 5 smooth stones and take your sling and go to the battlefield. You know why? Because that was a victory that brought glory to God and has throughout the ages. Saul with sword and spear killing Goliath? I don't know. Doesn't have the same ring as David and Goliath. The sling and the little shepherd boy. You come to me with your toy, basically, is what he says. And I'm going to feed you to the birds. David says, I don't come to you with a toy. I come to you how? What was it? I come to you in the name of the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Our battle isn't spiritual, it's physical. Say, Pastor, anything else to prove that thought to us? Take a moment, just consider with me briefly the armor of God. You notice that the armor itself is spiritual in nature. It's not physical. How do we fight our battles? Here's how we fight our battles. Number one, God says, take unto you truth. Truth acts as the belt of our armor. It is that which ties everything together, all of our armor. By the way, it's also the place where you hang your sword. The Word of God. God desires that we protect our lives from the lies of the devil, and the way that we do that is through truth. So we're supposed to live our life with a character of truth or integrity. Next, we're to take on righteousness. That's our breastplate. It protects the heart. Why is that so important? Because out of the heart come the issues of life. So keep your heart with all diligence, Proverbs 4 tells us. Righteousness, simply defined, doing right. Not by your standards, but by God's. And righteousness protects the heart. The gospel of peace. The gospel of peace of the peace of the boots of the foot soldier. Without our feet and legs, it's kind of hard to stand. And God says, in order to protect the feet and the legs so that you might stand, take to you the gospel of peace. That which causes us to stand is the truth of the gospel, the love of God. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He has given to us love, a sound mind, and power. It is also the gospel that gives us the feet to our faith. It allows us to pursue those who are also under attack by the enemy, the devil. We take the gospel of peace with us. Paul would write later and say in the book of Romans, how precious are the feet of those who carry with them the gospel. You and I have the armor, the boots of peace that come with the knowledge of the gospel. We're also now to take the shield of faith. Faith is that shield that protects us. It's that from which we're able to hide as the devil unleashes his arsenal of attacks by the fiery darts. You realize in the days of which we are speaking of warfare, that the shield was something that they could use and plant down as the arrows would fly over and they would be able to hide behind, so there's no way that they could be hit. By the way, I think it's interesting as you would consider maybe the thought of warfare that day, that as men linked together in battle, they could create a wall, a true shield, as they linked together to protect against the attacks of the devil. Think about that for a moment when you consider the Church of Jesus Christ. We're one body. And when one member puts his shield down, it impacts the rest of the body, does it not? We have faith. No wonder why the Bible says to us, walk by faith and not by sight. We're given the shield of faith. Next, we're to take unto us the concept of salvation. It's our helmet. It protects what I will call the operation center of our life. Consider this fact. The first place that Satan tries to attack us is in our mind. He seeks to deceive us and to cause us to question God and his motives. Is that not what he did with Eve? Hath God said? You know why he said that? Because he knows that the moment you eat, you're going to be like God. Folks, one of the greatest battlefields in your life is the battlefield for your mind. And God says the way we protect that is with the helmet of salvation. Because when I allow the salvation of God to fill my mind, all the thoughts that Satan whispers to me fall on deaf ears. And instead of listening to the lies at which he spills, I can meditate upon the truth of the Word of God, and he'll guide me in the operations of life. See, Satan wants to tell you God's not fair. But because you're saved, you understand that he redeemed me who was unworthy. God's not looking out for your best interest. Yet salvation tells me he's looking out for my higher good. That's the helmet that protects my mind. And then we're simply told that we are given the Word of God. It is our only offensive weapon. It is all that we need, the sharp two-edged sword of the Word of God. So powerful a weapon is the Word of God that Satan is silenced and he is caused to flee. Three times he came to the Lord Jesus and said, let me have you consider a new way of living. He tempted him. And each time, Jesus responded with the word of God. And after he tried in the third area of life, the pride of life, and Jesus responded, Satan walked away. And he fled. See, Satan and his host cannot stand against the word of God. It cuts right through. They have nothing to defend. Now, they can defend against your reason. They can defend against your intellect. They can defend against your means of trying to persuade them that you're okay, you don't need them, but they can't fight the Word of God. And by the way, again, that's firmly placed on the belt of truth, because that's where you carry a sword. So if you don't have integrity, how are you carrying your sword? Just a thought. Often when we leave truth, what we leave behind is the Word of God. But see, God has given us the armor of God. And He's told us to put it on. Why is that so important? Because the battle we're fighting isn't physical, it's spiritual. And then we understand the enemies that we are fighting. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, folks, let's be honest. If the battle was with other men, we'd be evenly matched. But we're not, because we're not fighting men. We are fighting Satan and all of his host. Peter reminds us that our adversary walks about as a lion, seeking whom he may devour. May I remind you as well, as we considered last week, that we also fight against the flesh. There's a battle that rages around you. There's a battle that rages in you. And we fight against this world and its system. Never forget, you're in a spiritual battle. God has called us to stand. Are you ready and able to stand against all that Satan and his host bring your way? I want to close tonight with another passage of Scripture. I want you to turn there with me, Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 39. I think it's a wonderful reminder to us in the midst of this spiritual battle that we face. Your life is lived out in a war zone. Day after day, you are being pulled into that battle. The admonition has gone out. Stand. Appropriate the armor so you can stand. And stand as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So let's hear the words of the Lord in Romans chapter 8, because these warm the heart. Here's what it says, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall not he with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So here's my final statement to you tonight. Dearly beloved, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's pray.